Welcome back, guys, to the Detour Podcast, episode 3.
Welcome back. We got a few things to talk about today, but before we jump into the nitty-gritty, I wanted to just do a recap of the show I mentioned last episode, The Twisted Tales of Amanda Knox. I'm caught up until this point. There's a new episode as of recording today. Oh my goodness. It gets, the more you watch it, the more you just get sucked in, and I just want to know what happens. But I'm at such a good point at episode 3. I'm not going to spoil it because you just started
the first episode. Yes, just watched the first episode this past week, and you're not wrong. It actually hooked me a little bit. Like, it is actually, like, a little bit, like, it's so vague on, like, what's happening, but you're, like, actually curious on, like, oh, what happened to her roommate? And then she's getting blamed, and then it's that, like, language barrier because it's taking place in Italy, and she's American, so like there's a discrepancy of like when she's trying to recant her story, and then the other police trying to understand it, and nothing's matching up.
No.
And then trying to figure out, like, if I was in her shoes, I would be so flustered and, like, probably not as, like, emotional like her roommates. Like, I'd probably be, like, so confused and, like, also trying to figure it out and shocked you're in a different country that you've never been to, and you've only been there for a little bit, and all of a sudden there's a language barrier, and you're, like, can't even comprehend what's going on, what everyone's saying around you, and just trying to, like, piece it all together.
What was the end of episode 1, if you remember?
The end of episode 1 was she went back to the police
station
because they wanted her to come back at 11 a.m. after they were questioning her all night. She goes back, and then they're questioning her again, and then they found DNA or something of an African-American. So then they were questioning her of, like, oh, who does your roommate hang out with? And she's like, I don't know names. Like, and then it's showing a list, like, her Instagram or something, and it's like, everyone's wearing a mask. I have no idea who these people are.
Okay, like, the Halloween party thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing of if I was in her shoes, I'd be losing my mind, because she says that she can understand more Italian than she can speak, but with a bunch of people coming at you, well, especially talking really, like, how fast they talk, it would stress me out, too.
Oh, I would be so overwhelmed, especially when there's, like, a million different people talking at once, and you're trying to comprehend the language. It's like, when it's a different language and, like, four people are talking all at once, you can't comprehend what's going on.
Yeah, so I definitely can understand, like, how rough that would be, and just the fact that, I don't know if it was in episode 1, but I think it might have been, where they were like, we need you to come back just because you could really help us out with this investigation or whatever, and the way they worded it was like, you're basically our prime suspect.
But the way they worded it was like, oh, you're valuable, like, you can help us solve the whoever killed your roommate.
That,
which was kind of manipulative, but, like,
from 100%.
The cop's perspective, they think it's her, so they're like, we don't want her to run because she's not from Italy. She would just fly back to her own country.
Yeah. The more you watch it, dude, oh my gosh. Like, their tactics of trying to accuse her are actually insane.
Really?
Like, it doesn't really spoil it much, but when they're, like, in the room interrogating and everyone's yelling, they basically, like, whack her upside the head while they're, like, doing it to, like, get her just to try and confess just to anything.
Yeah.
So then she, flustered, getting smacked around by these people, getting yelled at, being called a murderer when she has no idea what's going on.
And not, like, the language barrier.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, imagine being in those shoes. I'd be so flustered in a different country. You don't know anyone, because then all her roommates end up going back to their country. Are they still in the...
I think they're still there, but I don't think any of them really like her.
Okay.
Because...
So then being in a different country by yourself and not having anyone...
Well, it's also because, like, you see how she's unique, because we all react differently, but because of how she is and how she's just super goofy all the time, like, her reactions aren't the same. So her processing and the grieving of her roommate, who was her best friend while she was there, dead, is different. So everyone's kind of looking at her, like, all of her friends are looking at her weird. Everyone's already like, you're a freak for not crying. Like, do you not care? So then everyone's already kind of against her. But then the fact that she's kind of all over her freaking boyfriend, that she's known for what?
Eight days.
8 days?
Yeah.
Freaking 8 days, and she's all over him. And everyone's just like, why? Like, this girl's dead, who was supposed to be your best friend. But then you turn out, like, some people are like,
they but then it's confusing because then also her other roommate said, how would you know? You don't even know her that well, her roommate.
Yeah.
So how supposedly are they best about friends? About
the door being locked, right?
Yeah. How are they supposed to be best friends, but then also be called, oh, you don't even know her?
And they and make then, it seem like, that yeah, they're best friends, but then the roommate's speaking, and it's like, were they? Yeah. And then it almost kind of seems like you only know so much about Amanda, but then everyone kind of seems to like paint her as this like terrible person. Yeah, it's very
confusing a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you got three juicy episodes
to watch. Yeah, I will catch up by next week, hopefully, and then we'll be on the same page so we can talk.
Dive in exactly up to it, because there's so much I want to say, but oh my gosh.
Okay, I will catch up on that.
So that's a little... And you guys will
also get an update.
You will. If you're watching it, we'll talk about it as if you're there with us, because, I mean, please. Please watch it. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but it's also really good.
But heads up, we are probably going to spoil it if you haven't watched it, because we'll talk about it.
Sucks to be you, but that's that recap. And then I actually watched a movie on Sunday that I've never heard of before. It's called Awake. I'm pretty sure it's called Awake. You know Hayden Christensen, who plays Anakin in Star Wars?
No.
Have you seen Star Wars?
Not in years.
Okay, whatever. So the actor who plays Anakin in Episode 2 and 3 of Star Wars, he plays in this movie, and the whole premise is, like, he's got heart failure. So then he goes into heart surgery. It's a really good movie, and I don't think me telling you what it is going to spoil it, because it's just, like, I'll tell you up until the point where it could spoil it and make it hard to watch. So he's basically getting prepped for heart surgery, and as he's, like, going through all this stuff, he makes friends with the guy who's going to be doing surgery on him. He finds the love of his life, whatever. They're kind of pushing, like, hey, you know that you could die during this. And even if the heart does take, there's a 50% chance you'll die in 10 years after, just because that's how heart transplants work.
Okay.
So I guess, according to him, that's how they work. I have no idea. But they push him, like, hey, like, you should do all the things that you would want to do just in case you do die. Like, the girl that you're in love with, marry her. Like,
yeah.
Just get everything out of the way. And it kind of paints the picture that the mom just hates the son, like, doesn't want what's best for him. But then, plot twist, everything goes different. People who you think love him don't. The mom's actually there for him. And when he goes into surgery, so apparently there's like 25% of patients who go under anesthesia are like don't actually go under. They're paralyzed. So they look like they're asleep, but they're conscious and they can feel everything. So it's him feeling everything that's going on, hearing the people around him talking, and like trying to like go through that. It's insane.
That's wild, actually.
Like, it's wild to think that I'm going to be put under as someone's going to cut right through my chest and do surgery on my heart. But then I can't move, I can't talk, I can't do anything.
And then I'm just stuck here,
and I can feel all the pain, and I can't, like, I can't move, I can't, that's I can't wild. Tell them to stop.
Yeah, that'd be terrible.
When they were freaking sawing into, like, they cut it, and then they started sawing, like, through his sternum. Oh my gosh. I couldn't watch because it gave me the heebie-jeebies, for real. But it's a really good movie.
Okay, I'll also have to give that one
I don't remember where it was on, but it was on.
I've got all the streaming services.
So then you'll definitely be able to find it.
I'll find it somewhere.
But yeah, it was a pretty decent movie.
Okay, yeah. So, I'll have to give that a watch.
Suggestion for all of you to watch as well. But yeah, that's my little recap of shows and movies since last Wednesday. Now we're going to jump into
our topic of this podcast, which is firsts. So like first phone, first car, first concert, first time you cried that you can remember. We're going to start going over all our firsts. So I'm going to lead it off. The very first concert that I went to, do you know the artist Logic?
Yeah.
That was the first concert that I ever went to.
That's actually so sick.
So he's kind of like a rapper.
Yeah.
And so then in Utah, there's a Salt Air, which is like some weird building out near the Salt Flats, give or take. Over by the end of...
I know what you're talking about. I've never been.
Okay, so it was there. And so then he was the first person that I saw. I was back in, I want to say junior high or beginning of high school is when saw him. So I was pretty young. I don't know how that ended up being my first concert.
Wow.
But it was actually pretty badass because, I don't know, the way that Logic raps is actually very phenomenal in like the wording, the rhymes. Yeah. Like he can think like very like
it's out of it's the box. Less than like just rapping because you can rap, but it's more like almost like if you can make rapping mathematical. It almost kind of comes off like that because the way like those things he says and the words like he rhymes and I don't even know. It really is so much fun to listen to him.
So I don't rap. Know. That's probably been it was my first, but it's probably been my favorite rap concerts that I've ever been to.
Okay.
I've been to a lot of rap concerts, but like that was actually definitely a good one to go see live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on, man. Mine was nothing like that.
Okay, what was yours?
I'm not a huge concert person just because I just don't see the point of sitting there for like several hours just to listen to them sing for like an hour and a half. But my first one was an all indie band called The Head and the Heart.
Okay. I don't think I've heard of them.
Yeah, no. And then they were the people who play right before them was called Hippocampus, and they're also like another group. Okay, I've heard of them. So I went, and it was actually right after I graduated high school.
Okay.
So back in 2019, and we went because my buddy, he was going to take his girlfriend because he always chooses girls over his friends, but whatever. She actually broke up with him right before that, so then he ended up taking me. And it was kind of fun. It was kind of fun to hear them live. It wasn't, I don't know. It was a good experience because I was just like the company I was with, and I knew some of the songs. But I because I don't care about concerts that much.
Which is wild because I think concerts are so fun. It's like the ambiance, the atmosphere around, like the people you go with, like even the people you meet at concerts. It's just good vibes all around.
I think there's only one concert that I have actually thoroughly enjoyed. Because I've been, a lot of them are indie. Like,
indie's a good genre.
Rex like, Orange County, indie. I went to Hippocampus when they came by themselves.
Okay.
I went and the Lumineers, actually, back in July.
Okay.
Just recently, I heard them. They were amazing. But my favorite was Post Malone. Last September, he came, but he sang his country album.
Is that one he did with Jelly Roll?
No.
The one before Jelly Roll?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was actually really fun to hear him and like to perform stuff, and I have a shirt that I got there. I wear it all the time. Okay. And it's funny because I told you the story about how I saw Post Malone at a Super Chicks.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because like I'll go to the gym and then when I come home typically like I'll change because my clothes are sweaty, but that's like the one day I didn't wear my Post Malone shirt because that's just like a throw on with some shorts to like leave the house. The one day I saw him at a Super Chicks, I wasn't wearing.
Oh, you were wearing it.
I
was like,
if I just wore that shirt, maybe he would have seen and I would have spoke to him because I regret not saying hi now and getting a picture.
You should have asked for a picture.
No, I was trying to be super nice. I was like, but then in the end, I realized that's their life. They know what comes with
Yeah, but they that. Know they're going to get
well, stopped for I know, like, they know, yeah. So I'm like, I'm being nice for no reason because they're already prepared for that, as long as I ask in a nice way, but... But yeah, that was my first concert, and it was all right. It was memorable, but
yeah, it wasn't like every Logic. Concert you go to is like memorable, because it's definitely like rap's not my first choice. Like,
I guess that's fair.
The favorite concerts that I ever go to, like my favorite first time like big concert, like an all day weekend, was Country Fan Fest, which is like a 3-day, 4-day weekend of just concerts back to back to back to back. Which is out in Tooele, or Country Jam out in Colorado, Grand Junction. Those have like been phenomenal because you just drive a trailer out there, then you camp, and then every day you wake up, drink, hang out by the pool, go to the concert venue, listen to music all day, come back, hang out, wait until another artist comes on that you like, go back, repeat.
Who was some of your favorite artists that performed?
All of them. Like the... I don't know, like...
Was Morgan Wallen there?
I think Morgan Wallen did it once. Like, I'm not 100% on, like, can't fully remember. I believe he did, like, John Party has, Brooks and Dunn has, Dominion.
Yeah, Old Dominion.
Yeah, Old Dominion. Like, honestly, there's so many different concert or artists that go.
Did Chris Stapleton go?
I don't know if he's been.
Because that would have been... I want to go hear him live.
I heard him and George Strait live at the U.
Really?
For a concert.
That must have been a good...
Yeah, George Strait opened for Chris Stapleton. Or it was vice versa. I can't remember.
Okay.
But that was badass. Because those are two phenomenal artists.
Yeah, George Strait.
And to have them paired up...
Yeah, that's...
It was wild. Hmm. All right. Now, let's talk about... Okay, tell me about your first job.
First job?
First job.
I think I worked at Village Inn.
Village Inn, okay.
So Hannah,
yeah,
she was a server there. My sister, you guys. And I worked there because of her. I was a busboy.
Okay.
And it was like, I think it was right as I turned 16. I got a busboy job there.
Okay.
People
did you like
sucked.
It?
Everybody sucked.
Everybody sucked?
So I was a busboy slash host. So I'd be a busboy on Saturday and Sunday. And then when I'd work during the week, at night, I'd be a host. The manager... Sick guy.
Okay.
He was always like flirting and like touching the girls and stuff like that. Like touching their back, lower back. He was just a freak. He was so weird. And then everyone was just kind of like, just assholes because they would fight over who got like tables. So like when you bring them in, there's like four sections and there's like about two servers per section or whatever.
You gotta see them in this different sections. Yeah.
So like at night when I was a host, they would fight over who got the people.
Like they would want it or they wouldn't want
they
it?
They would.
Okay. Because
they want tips. I would get bribed with their tip money. So they'd be like, "If I'll give you $15 if you just see like the next three people that come in at my table. Like at my section." I was like, deal. Then another host would come up. "Here's $20. See some at mine." And I was like, I'm making money as these people are throwing all fits. Right. But... I remember my favorite part was, because this was 2017, when it was football season, I would catch every Sunday game that the Eagles played. So I'd be bussing dishes, watching the football, and I'd like talk with customers and they'd be watching football too. I'd get in trouble a lot for just standing
just
there and
watching the
football.
Game.
That was the greatest year ever, though, for the Eagles.
Okay.
Super Bowl champs. But that was definitely... Yeah, I was happy to leave that place.
That's fair.
What was your first job?
My first job was back when I was 13 or 14.
Okay.
It was some tree farm. And it was the stupidest. I feel like it was against the law. They were putting children to work. It was
really?
It was wild because it was like just like a row of kids. And your whole job was to grab trees that weren't in any buckets.
Okay.
Put them into a bucket, shovel dirt into the bucket, load them onto a truck, and then the truck goes off, and then you got to haul it into the line. So, like, if you ever see those tree farms with all the trees and buckets, my job was just to put those stupid things into buckets, fill them with dirt, and I think I got paid, like, maybe $5 an hour. Like,
oh
I think
gosh.
It was, like, straight up...
That does sound like child labor.
It was terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was fun because I did it with my best friend back in the day. And me and him would have competitions.
To see who could do more?
No. So, his older brother worked there as well. And he was the one that would throw it onto the truck. Because he was, like, one of the tallest people there. So, like, he could lift it. So, me and him would have competitions to see who could put the most... Because your job, if there's big rocks, you throw them to the side. Because you only want dirt in the buckets for the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my buddy, this is a shitty thing for us to do. We had put as many rocks in the bucket as possible... to get the bucket as heavy as possible to see if his brother could still lift it onto the truck.
So it was a competition to see how much you could put in before...
To see if we could get his brother not to be able to pick it up and put onto the truck.
Okay.
And that was the only thing that made the job bearable is because me and him were laughing the whole fucking time.
That is actually
making
super
buckets
funny.
Laugh, like, heavy as possible, seeing if his brother could even pick it up. Some of the time he couldn't because it was like, we would put full-on boulders in those things.
That actually sounds like that. I feel like that would make that job fun because it does sound miserable.
Oh, it was the stupidest thing. I was getting paid nothing for doing manual labor.
How many hours did you work?
I think I only did on the weekend or it was only in the summer.
Okay.
But it was like child laws, so like I feel like they could only work me like maybe 20 hours a week or 30. I don't even know.
That's still a lot for being what? Would you say 13?
13 or 14. Ugh. It was the stupidest thing. Like, once I left there, I was like, I'm never going back to that. That was the stupidest thing. I'd rather mow lawns.
I mean, technically, if that counts, Grandpa and Grandma, me mowing and weed whipping was my first job.
Okay.
But I don't technically, there's an N in that. Golly.
That was good.
Yeah, technically consider it because it's not an actual employer, it's family.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, like, my first out of family employment, yeah, it was that one.
Okay.
But interesting. Interesting little first job you got there.
Yeah. All right, first tattoo.
First tattoo, the one right here on my arm. It says, live life to the fullest. So I got it because that's something I, like, try to live by because I've realized that, like, one, I like to have meaning with my tattoos. But two, I like the way it means because I feel like you focus too much on, like, the wrong things in life. And I don't want to be, like, 40, 50 years old and realize, I wanted to travel so much when I was younger and I never got around to doing it. Or I wanted to do this and I never got around to doing it. Because then, like, this last week has gone by so quick.
Yeah. Life flies by.
This year has gone by so fast. So I'm afraid that if I don't pursue what I want to pursue, that I'm going to regret it. So it's kind of like my way of being, like, whatever I do, I need
keeping
to
yourself
live
accountable
it to the fullest.
To live it to the fullest.
Yeah.
So, no, that's fair. I like that.
So it's a nice little reminder.
So you can always see it.
Yeah. And I can read it and everything like that. And it's a nice little placement for the tattoo, so.
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
I like it.
I got it and with the girl I was dating at the time. I wanted her to come with me because she was like, oh, that'd be so cool, like, to go with you. Then she stood me up and stopped talking to me.
Oh, damn.
So then I was like, I don't really want to go by myself because I've never gotten a tattoo before. So I invited my dad to go with me. Okay. And it was like a couple days before Thanksgiving. I think it was like the day or 2 days before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Because then I showed up with, like, the second skin on my arm. But I was wearing a button-up shirt, so nobody even saw it. But I was just like, whatever, man.
Okay.
It was good that my dad came with me. So it was a nice little, like, experience with him. But
okay,
not too bad. What was yours?
Mine was on my wrist. I have a lion, kind of. I don't know if you guys can see that. But, like, if it's faced this way, it looks like a campfire.
Okay.
It looks like flames,
yeah.
But, yeah, I was freshly 18. Mainly my other two buddies back in college, they were getting tattoos, and then I was with them. And then in all reality, like, I got straight up bamboozled into it. Like, I didn't even want a tattoo at the time, and then they were getting ones, and then I got convinced to get one, and then I will never do it again. I picked one out of the stupid book.
Oh, that's, yeah. That's
like, I regret it because it was like I was bamboozled. I was like, all right, peer pressure, got to get one. So I was flipping through the book. I was like, all right, that one looks kind of cool. Let's get that one. And then my first placement was right on my wrist. So I was like, ooh. I dove right into it. I don't know what I was thinking.
Well, dang.
And then the way I told my parents that I had got a tattoo happened to fall on April Fool's Day.
Oh, so.
And so then it was like a whole weird ordeal because they were visiting me up at college. And then I told them, but it was on April Fool's, so then they weren't believing me. And I was like, oh my God, this is like, how is this?
I promise, it's real.
Yeah.
Did it hurt?
Only when it went over my veins.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only part that hurt.
That does seem like it would hurt right there.
Yeah, the worst tattoo spot, though, was on my shoulder, right on my shoulder blade.
Ooh.
Because it was just constantly hitting my bone.
And you could feel it in your...
Which is surprising, because, like, my chest tattoo, right across my ribs and sternum, didn't even hurt at all.
Huh.
Even going across all my different ribs.
Maybe it's just
the,
like,
shoulder was what hurt the most.
Locational pain tolerance, because when I was getting this one, a lot of people at my job said that this is one of the most, like, sensitive places because the skin's so thin and it's on, like, just a bunch of softer tissue. But I didn't feel anything. Like, I obviously really? Could feel the needle going, but it didn't hurt at all. It was bearable, and I was just sitting there, and I was enjoying it. I think the hardest part, because I had to lay more like this, so it was kind of just more the strain of my arm being in the position it was.
Okay.
But it didn't really hurt. So I wonder if it's just, like, certain spots on you are going to be more sensitive or less, just depending on, like, pain tolerance and the location.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why this didn't hurt. Because
yeah,
you got a higher tolerance there, but that's so weird because I feel like that hurt so bad.
Yeah, I think the only part that hurt, because I got it right underneath my tits, was just the bone on my sternum.
Okay. Yeah.
Like right there, it like
pokes out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the only part that hurt.
Ugh.
Everything else didn't hurt. My shin tattoo didn't hurt. My shoulder didn't hurt except for right on my shoulder blade. And when they went back over it with white ink. Because it was like, it was a freshly...
Because it was
yeah.
sensitive. Sensy.
Yeah.
Do you plan on getting more?
Yeah.
Do you have one coming up or are you just... You just know you want to get
more. Yeah, I want to get more. I think my next one, I think I'm going to get a forearm tattoo.
Right on.
And then I think potentially I want to get a...
Lip tattoo?
An inside lip one just as... Because then only I can see that one and I can choose who can see it and who can't see it. So I think it'd be funny.
That's funny.
But I don't know exactly what I want on the forearm yet.
Would you do the entire length?
Or would you just do
like, kind of like mine where it's just like...
I'd probably do a little longer because yours is more just near the wrist.
Yeah.
Because my shoulder one's so big to even out my body, I'd probably do like a slightly bigger one.
Would you do an image or would you do wording?
I'd probably do probably an image of something.
Okay.
Potentially even with wording mixed into it.
Hmm. Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think forearm ones are sexy, I'm not going to lie.
Like, yeah.
Especially like when you go to the gym and you're working out and you get like a forearm pump and stuff. I don't know, it just looks so good. So I'm just like, dang, dude. I look great. Even though All right. I'm just probably delusional. But, yeah.
All right.
Cool.
So, tell me what your first car was.
It was like an RC car. I'm not even gonna kid you. It was called a Chevy Aveo 5 or something like that. Because it was like Aveo to the power of 5. That's literally what like the logo did. It was this tiny little hatchback car, a 4-door hatchback car, and I swear, if the wind blew 1 mile an hour, I'd float across lanes. Like, this car was so light, so small, and it was one of those things of, like, I needed a car, and I decided that I no longer wanted to live where I was living, so I moved in with Grandpa and Grandma.
Okay.
And I'm like, I have to get a car. So I'm 18 years old, got to get my first car, and we were going around. It's, like, nearly impossible because everywhere is like, well, we don't... take loans from the bank, X, Y, Z. I'm like, you guys are jagoffs. Like, just let me get your car. You're getting money.
Yeah.
So we get to this one. I'm like, oh, this thing can drive. This thing's only like $3,600. They'll take a freaking auto loan. I want the car. But it was stick shift, and I don't know how to drive stick.
Okay.
So I had to learn.
Hey, that's the best way to do it.
Each and every single day.
No, I
completely agree. Everyone needs to learn how to drive a manual because people who can't, to me, it's sort of pathetic.
Well, no, it works a different part of your brain. It gets you, like, thinking. And it takes, actually, skill, because then it's, like, you have to learn how to shift and how to, like...
I just think, yeah, because how every car back in the day used to be a manual, and now everything is becoming more automatic, so you're lazier. I just feel like that's just something that you should know as a driver.
Because just like, in case you're ever in a situation that that's the only car
you have
available,
to drive a manual.
And if you didn't know how, you're screwed.
Yeah.
No, you have to know, like, because...
I think it should be, like, a requirement of at least... You don't need to own a manual, but just
know how to
drive a manual.
Without stalling.
Yeah. Because I remember one of my first experiences in that car, because I got it in the fall, was it had, like, a heavy snow. So I was driving it. And I was turning, and the car kind of stalled in the intersection.
Oh, geez.
So then when I got it to turn back on, and I was pressing the gas to go, I freaking did like a 280 spin in the middle of the intersection. I'm like, I'm going to die.
You're like,
right here. So then I'm like slowly creeping. I'm like, this has got to be the worst car. It doesn't weigh anything, so the traction on the snow is already terrible. So I'm like fishtailing. I'm just like, I'm going to drive so slow. If I'm like 30 minutes late, so be it. Yeah, no, it was... It was a hoot and a half. A fun little car, but scary at the same time.
That's fair.
All right, so what was your very first car that you owned?
So my first car was a Honda Civic. I shared it with my older sister back in high school. And that thing was used and abused. Like, me and my sister put that thing through hell.
Really?
Like, near the end of its life, it had, like, over 200,000 miles. Like, the AC kept breaking. It had carpet. like, not carpet, not leather seats, but...
Suede or... No, just the, like, fabric seats?
Yeah, the fabric seats. But, yeah, it wasn't leather, so, like...
Whatever.
It was terrible. And then the way that that car, like, I was drifting in my high school parking lot, and then there was this random island curb in the middle of the parking lot, hit it going, like, 60. I shattered the body frame of that whole Honda Civic. Like, I couldn't even drive the car out of that parking lot. Like, it was, like, I destroyed that car, and I was like, oh, my God. So then me and my buddies pushed it into a parking spot. And then I had someone pick me up, and then I went home. So that car went, that car was no bueno.
Oh my God.
But then I've been through quite a bit of cars since then. Because then I had a Land Rover. Okay. I think it was like a 2004 Land Rover.
Was it the one your dad had? Or was it?
Yeah.
Because I feel like your dad's always had a Land Rover.
No, he had a Montero Mitsubishi. That thing was
okay.
A beaut. No, but so I had a Land Rover. That one kept overheating, and then when it was snowing, I accidentally was going down a hill, hydroplane slash drifted, and then like hit a snowbank, and then totaled the whole front, kind of terrible. Then the next one was a Montero Mitsubishi, not my dad's, but a different one.
Okay.
Then that one died. Mm-hmm. Then I had a Honda Accord.
I think I remember that.
That one was a beaut, but that one I hydroplaned on the freeway going like 70 right in front of a semi, flew off the freeway, like spun like 10 times, flattened a road sign, hit a tree. That car was like completely totaled. And then Then I used my parents for a little bit, and then I bought a Jeep Cherokee 1997. So then I drove that for a minute. Then that one just started going to shit. And then it's like, it started backfiring, spitting flames out the exhaust. So I was like, what is going on with this? So then that sat in my driveway for like 2 years. And then I just barely gave it to our cousin, Cooper, Stacy's kid.
Oh.
So then now they have that. But then I just barely got a 2018 Subaru Outback. And then now that's what I currently drive.
Dude, that's a lot of cars. You want to hear my story? Ready? I had my Chevy Aveo.
Okay.
Got rid of it. And then got my current Crosstrek, 2016 Crosstrek. I've only ever had two cars.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
I like to push my cars to the limit.
Yeah, you're like, I had this car, accident. This one, accident. This one, it broke. Next one, accident. Well, mine's like, the other one, it was just acting a little weird, but I'm like, you know what? I should get a new car, got a new car, gave it to Sarah, somebody hit her, smashed her between like the car that hit her and the person in front, totaled the crap out of that. Like, just destroyed, it's like a 10 can.
Okay.
Crushed the car. Luckily, it wasn't my fault, but yeah, I've only had two cars.
That's actually impressive. I wish I only had two cars, but no, I've put many cars into their grave, early grave. My favorite, though, was the Montero Mitsubishi.
See, I've actually wanted a Montero because I was looking at a bunch of, like, off-roading cars because I want to get a rooftop tent to go camping and stuff in. And I was looking at some fun, like, 4x4 cars like that. And the Montero, they're really nice-looking cars.
They are. They've got that, like, old look. They're sexy. It's like, I don't know. It's like Ford Broncos. I love the look of them, but only the old ones.
I don't like the new ones.
The new ones are too sleek and, like, too trying to make them too new. Kind of like the Volkswagen Beetles, the Bug.
Old
the
one?
The old ones, sexy. The new ones, they're too sleek and, like, they're modernized. Disgusting. It's disgusting. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Like, obviously they'll take certain cars and continue to make them over the years, but I feel like when there's a specific make of a car, like the Bronco, that hasn't been made since the old one, and then they bring it out new. It's just like, some people might like that, but it's just, the old one looks just so good.
Yeah.
I'm like, why don't you just make new ones that look exactly like the old one, but that have modern amenities to it?
Yeah. Like, keep the same body frame.
Because I've seen...
And just modernize the engine, the electronic, like, the seats, the
everything. I see these things where it's just like, people will take old ones to modernize them. It's like, how they have crank windows. They have the crank handle, but it doesn't go all the way up, so you click it, push it up, and it rolls the window up automatically. So it looks old, but it's got like...
But it's got the modern eyes. Yeah.
I'd like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just have a thing for older cars, though, too.
Yeah. So. Okay. Ooh. Actually, we won't go on your first celebrity crush, because I haven't... Actually, first celebrity crush.
I have no idea.
You do know.
No.
Try to think as far
My celebrity crushes change as I grow up and mature into a man. Just kidding.
I hate you.
First celebrity crush, let's see. What did I like when I was a kid?
Okay, while you think, I'll tell you mine.
Yeah, what is
my yours? First celebrity crush? Lola Bunny.
She's bad.
That's what I'm saying. Space Jam?
Oh my gosh. What's the movie with, like, Roger Rabbit? It's, like, they got animated and, like, realistic, like, all in one, and they, like, interact. So it's, like...
I have no idea.
Oh, my gosh. I gotta Google it. Because there's, like, a red-haired woman in there. And she's obviously animated. She's...
Like, the... like, she has a red dress on?
Yeah.
Does she... I know who you're talking about. It's not. I know exactly who you're talking about, but I can't think of her name.
Maybe it's just like the Roger Rabbit movie, but yeah, her. So it is just probably Roger Rabbit, but
okay.
She's not my first celebrity crush. I have no idea.
Look up
Roger Rabbit. I don't know. I have no idea.
Girl in red dress.
Red dress girl. Jessica Rabbit.
Yes, Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah, she was pretty smexy back in the day, but I don't know.
Okay, who's your current celebrity crush?
I got a few. Ana de Armas.
Yes, that's one of mine.
She's beautiful. I love Madeline Klein. I got a thing for blondes. As my girlfriend's a blonde, and every girlfriend I've really had's a blonde. Madeline Klein. Oh my gosh. There was another one, but I can't seem to remember. I think those two are like my main ones right now.
Okay.
So I might form more as, you know, we go. I mean, with the new show that we've been watching, I might have myself a third celebrity crush there.
Okay.
Who plays Amanda. She's pretty cute. But I think that's just that's about it right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, one of mine is Ana de Armas.
She's
batty.
She's stunning.
And then Julianne Hough.
Okay.
She is
gorgeous.
Like, super famous for Footloose. And now she's on Dancing with the Stars.
I love her. Footloose was good. She portrayed the character way too good, and it kind of made me not like her.
Oh, I liked her even more after watching
her. And then
that.
Seeing her host Dancing with the Stars, she's also kind of an awkward host.
Okay, let's simmer down. And then probably another one, Jennifer Aniston. Okay. She's got it going on. She's kept that beauty for years and years and years.
Yeah, she has. You know who's also kept her beauty? Jessica Alba.
Yes!
Because she's in the movie Awake or Awaken or whatever that movie is. Oh my gosh. Made me realize that, like, early 2000s, like, those female celebrities just had
it. They had
it.
Something
Everyone
else going
was
on.
Just sexy.
Megan Fox in Transformers, the first one.
Oh my gosh.
The car scene?
I was there for the robots and the cars, and now all of a sudden I'm there for her. Yeah, that car scene. I don't even care if she knows what she's looking at in the car. She's looking good. That's all I can say. She's looking...
No, Transformers, the first
fine.
One. Phenomenal movie, actually.
It actually was really good.
That's one that I can always watch and still love every part of it.
Yeah. And then, I think the second one was alright. Again, the more you make them, the worse they kind of get. But yeah, that I remember when that came out. Bang a movie.
Shia LaBeouf is one of the best... actors for Transformers.
Oh,
he made Transformers.
No, seriously, if someone else was whatever
the main character
is, it wouldn't have been as good.
Yeah, that's why it died off once they got rid of him near the end.
Yeah, but I remember when Transformers the game came out on the Wii, that was sick because you could play as like Bumblebee and stuff, and you can transform into cars and drive around, and then transform into a robot and just start fighting Decepticons. That was pretty cool.
Okay.
Because I wanted to, like, I didn't want to have the car that was a Transformer. I wanted to be the freaking Transformer.
I wanted to be the Transformer.
I wanted to be a robot. But it was pretty cool. Pretty good movie. But, yeah, I might next time need to do, like, I'll compose, like, a list of, like, 5 to 10 just, you know, the most attractive women from, like, the early 2000s,
yep. 2010s. Okay, next week, and we'll do, like, both a blind come rating with our top five.
The top five?
Yeah.
Okay, and then I want to bring a list, though, of not, or like, your top five, and I wanted you to blind rate
okay.
a list of what I give you.
And then you
got
to blind rate the list that I give you.
Okay. Because I think I would want to know where you place certain people.
Okay.
But we'll do it based on how they looked in that, like, period, 2000
okay,
to 2010.
Okay, so we'll...
Versus not now.
Okay.
So it's just like...
Back, like, we'll give it, like, technically if you were to say, like, Megan Fox, Transformers 1.
Yeah.
That's the...
It would be... That you'd be ranking her based off how she looks then, not how she looks now.
Okay, that's fair.
Because I feel like I would rate her way differently now.
I feel like that's with a lot of people, because some people had, like, peaks in 2000, like you were saying. Or,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And then some people age like fine wine, and you're like, why do I have to be so young?
Yeah.
Just kidding. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Okay. First time you got trouble in school.
I remember it. Second grade. I cheated on my math test, and I got caught.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't exactly remember how I was cheating, but I know for a fact that I cheated because I hate school. And then I remember getting pulled out of the hallway, and it's like where there's the door, and then there's a bunch of windows so you can see into the class. I'm getting like a talking to outside, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, just don't cheat anymore. And I was like, okay. I don't think I cheated. I think I just took the F. I just took the F with pride from then on out.
I took the fail.
Yeah, but I think that was the first one, because I'm like, man, it sucks.
How'd you get caught? How were you cheating?
I was so blatant with it. I don't remember how I was cheating, but as a second grader, if you're cheating, you're getting caught. There's no way you're going to be, like, smooth.
You
must have
just
it.
Been completely, like...
No, I probably was. I was just like... Over. And it's like, what do you... Oh, yeah, I'm cheating. Which, I think it's so funny when you're, like, trying to, like, cheat, and you're, like, slowly looking over, and you're doing it, and then you catch the teacher kind of, like, looking at you, and then you have to pretend, like... Oh,
you got to pretend, I'm thinking.
Oh, I'm just... If I stare at that wall harder... I'll get the answer. So
and
I
gotta,
like,
look over here just in case. In case they think I'm, like, looking. I just gotta keep thinking.
Move to the other side, and then and then I'll just answer that question. Yeah. However, so then I don't get caught. They know.
Yeah,
I still
failed. All the teachers.
I don't think me cheating ever in my life has amounted to me getting a passing grade, because I think the people I cheated on also didn't get good grades.
So it was a lose-lose.
No, no, seriously.
Okay.
Do you have a time you remember?
Yeah, I think the first time was also in elementary. I think I was probably in fourth grade.
Hmm.
It was like our playground. Got new wood chips, so there's like this big, massive mountain of wood chips. It's probably not that big, but when you're that little,
it looks
like a freaking mountain. And I remember, because the highest grade in my elementary was sixth grade. So then the sixth graders were like, oh, we're the king of the mountain. And so then they were, like, kind of pushing all the little kids, like, stay off the wood chips, like, this is ours. And then one of them pushed my best friend down. His name was Max Andreessen or something. I think it was him. And so then my mindset, I don't know why, but I had a pocket knife in my backpack in the classroom. And so then I threatened him. I was like, you do that again, I'm going to cut you with the pocket knife I have. And then he reported me when I was, like, I was a child. And he reported me. And so then I got suspended from school.
That's crazy.
And they took my pocket knife.
Oh my. How does it have to do with cheating?
No, the fact that this sixth grader was scared of a kid that was like 4 years younger. I was just telling him not to push my friend again. And I didn't threaten him. And then next thing you know, I was called into the principal's office.
And that's what spirals you into cheating.
No, that was just the first time I got in trouble.
Oh, yeah, in trouble.
Yeah.
I took that as cheating.
No, that was the first time I got in trouble.
Because I was like, my mind was like, yeah, when's the first time you cheated on a test? And you're like, yeah, I threatened this kid with a pocket knife. I was like, I don't know how that correlates.
I was like, give me those answers.
I was like, I'm waiting till you get to the story, because right now,
you're like, it's a bunch of shit. Like, I don't do with cheating.
Yeah, I'm like, he's getting there. This is just the interesting part.
The interesting or
like,
lead up.
I thought you were talking about like, oh yeah, they hid some of the answers in the wood chips, so you'd go out and find them, so you had the answers. And you're like, and then I got suspended, and that's the end of the story. I'm like, oh yeah, God.
I got suspended for like I think a week. That's my pocket knife.
That's wild.
But it was actually kind of nice because I was a child. I was like, sweet, I don't gotta go to school. How is this a punishment? This is nice. I gotta hang out at my house.
Yeah, did you get in trouble at home though?
Yeah, I think I probably got spanked. And then I was just playing games in my room after that. For like, it was like a vacation. I didn't have to worry about school.
Dude, if I threatened a kid with a pocket knife, one, I would have got my ass whooped. And two, everything in my life would have gotten, everything that meant anything to me would have been taken away. And I would have had to sit there in my own thoughts forever. You're like, I got spanked and I played video games.
I think I got spanked, like a firm talking to. And then they probably did take everything away, probably for a day. And then I probably looked like a lost little puppy. Like, okay, what do I do?
Man, your parents are nice. My mom would be like, figure it out.
Well, it's probably because I kept harassing them, like, what can I do? I'm bored. I need to do something. I'm not just going to sit in my room in a corner.
My mom.
And then they were probably like, stay away from me. Just do your own thing.
Dude, my mom's hilarious because she doesn't care. Like, your parents were like, oh, yeah, no, fine, whatever. Just take it. Just leave us alone. My mom would have been like, that's for you to figure out. Now shut up and leave me alone while I'm watching my show. And I'm just sitting there, like, twiddling my thumbs, doing whatever. And she's like, sometimes she'll give in, like, 2 days early. If it's like, everything's gone for a week. 5 days.
5 days of still nothing.
She'll give it back. Oh, no, 100%.
Absolutely nothing.
So, yeah. So, I'd sit there and daydream and think about stuff. Or, like, I used to steal erasers you put on the end of, like, pencils at school. And I used to draw on them with pencils. So, I'd make a bunch of ones that looked like ninjas.
Stop. No. You did not.
100%. I had a bag of, like, 20 of them. And then I had ones that I made bandits. And I'd set up scenes. And I had my favorite one that was drawn a little differently. It was a little green eraser. So I'd set scenes up, and I'm like, this is me as a ninja, and I'm going to fight.
But with pencil erasers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was your only source of, like, fun in that time.
And then I ended up really liking it.
You're like, this is
No, I was like, this shit's actually nice. I'm like, who needs toys? I got little erasers, and I'd, like, bring them to school, and my friends would be like, oh, that's so sick. And then they'd like, make some ninjas. But I'd have ninja versus bandits, and they'd be, like, just the multicolored erasers, and then I'd be like, wah, bah, bah, and I'd, like, have them fight and stuff. And obviously, I'd always end up victorious.
Obviously.
I had to find little things like that because my mom didn't see erasers as toys. She saw toys as toys. So I'd just sit there playing with the little erasers, keeping my mind preoccupied.
So if she came in and saw you with erasers, she'd be like...
She'd probably be like, you're an idiot. Like, you are not my son. But she definitely didn't take erasers away. You're grounded from all your toys. Give me your erasers because I know how much you love them.
Have to have such a big imagination to actually... If someone handed me a razor, I think I would last a minute and be like, no. Somehow I'm going to be tearing those erasers apart and then be left with garbage and be like...
Yeah, that lasted months. Like, I was into that for months. And, like, I even got to the point where, like, pencils or, like, the big rubber pink erasers are like pens. I'd make them and be like, okay, they're spaceships and I could fly spaceships around. So, like, the mechanical pencils, I'd have them upright so the clip was, like, the cockpit where they'd sit. And then that'd be where you, like, fly around and, like, where the eraser is. That's where the fire would come out of. And
that then, like, is wild.
The pins and, like, if I had a stapler or, like, those little clips you put on things, I'd be like, oh, that's, like, a spaceship. And they'd fly around and then I'd have, like, battles between pens and pencils while I'm sitting there.
Who needs toys when you have office supplies?
Yeah. No, for real. For real.
Your imagination is crazy.
Yeah, I did that.
I don't know how you could. That's actually impressive.
It was fun. Especially with the ninja eraser, sometimes I'd be like, oh, gotta get in my spaceship and, you know, gotta da da da. So then I'd have him like, whoop, pretend to jump on the spaceship. And then obviously I'd put the eraser away so he's in the ship. And then I'd just fly around, I'd sit there. And I think that's why I also had a really hard time paying attention is because I'm like. Because
even at school,
your
toys were there.
Everything. I'd make anything out of whatever I could because school's so boring. So I would be sitting there, and sometimes I'd be, like, pretending to pay attention, and I'd just be, like, deep, 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 with a little eraser, like, flying it. I'm, like, trying not to get caught, but I'm, like, flying stuff. Yeah, all the time. It's better than toys. It was better than toys.
Stop. That's so good. Yeah. I can only imagine if I was a fly on the wall watching you and just seeing other kids look at you and you're just...
You'd probably be like, big imagination, autistic.
Because, a little bit, yeah.
Because it's like playing at recess with your imagination is one thing. But when you're alone playing with erasers and pencils, making like
you gotta do what you gotta do sometimes. And stuff.
Yeah. So that was fun.
Okay.
That was definitely...
That's actually impressive.
Yeah. Thanks.
Like, I can't... Yeah, me and you both didn't even grow up with any brothers. We just grew up with sisters.
Yeah.
So yeah, we had to make our own fun.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what preoccupied me while I didn't hang off with my friends. And then obviously when I saw you, it was just like... Dude,
then we would just
life's life. We're playing GameCube. We're playing with wooden swords. Yeah. And then when I get home, I'm like, now I got to put all of that into little erasers and try to make it work.
And then make it work.
My life wasn't... It kind of makes me sound... Like, it makes my life kind of sound sad. Knowing that, like, I found comfort in erasers.
Okay.
It wasn't. It's just... There's only so much you could do with a toy because the imagination is given to you. Yeah. When, like, you get... Like a transformer, or like, or Bionicles.
Oh my goodness.
There's only so much you can do with that, but when it's just like an abstract object that looks just close enough to something, you're like, my imagination is like the entire world for this thing.
That's wild.
So, yeah. I don't know how we got here, but...
But, yeah.
We're here. And I still, like, I don't think about that, like, now... I mean, the pencil thing, sometimes. Sometimes I'm like...
Bored. You reminisce.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, man, those are good old days. And then I'm like, ah, this is kind of stupid. Because...
But you're reminiscing, so that's the good part.
Yeah. Trying to not be grown up too much, trying to still be a kid. But realizing some of the ways I was a kid, maybe should be left in the past.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because you shouldn't see a 24-year-old playing with freaking erasers. Pencil erasers.
You're not wrong.
At that point... Right. I got problems, but we'll just leave that in the past.
All right, that concludes episode 3.
Yes, sir, episode 3 in the books. If you made it this far, thank you so much. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe, like the video, comment down below, do everything, put us in that algorithm.
If you're watching one of our podcast platforms, give us a follow, give us a like. And stay tuned for our next episode next Friday.
Yes, sir. Stay tuned, and we'll see you then. Much love.